It is Wednesday, February 28th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman pleads not guilty to new charges. Russia accuses Syrian rebels of blocking its humanitarian plan while fighting continues. And the 90th Academy Awards this weekend showcases diversity and inclusiveness in Hollywood. It's all ahead. President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, has pleaded not guilty to a new set of charges that were filed against him last week by special counsel Robert Mueller, who's been probing Russian interference in the U.S. election. A trial date has been scheduled for September 17th. VOA Justice correspondent Masood Farivar tells me about the new charges.
This indictment adds new charges to an earlier indictment that was handed down back in October. The most important new allegation contained in the new indictment is that he paid a group of former European Union politicians to illegally lobby on behalf of Ukraine's then government, then pro-Russia government in Washington. This group was called the Habsburg Group. This was something that had not been reported on before and had not been contained in previous indictments. And he is accused of paying them millions of dollars to lobby members of Congress in Washington on behalf of Ukraine.
Apparently, Manafort had, I guess, several homes, and he had quite a lavish lifestyle to fund.
Yes, many homes and real estate and other assets across the country. One of the allegations in all these indictments that have come down in recent months is that he and his former business partner, Rick Gates, who did plead guilty to two counts last week, used the money to support a lavish lifestyle, you know, buying luxury cars, paying for their kids' tuition, renovating and decorating homes, etc.
The fact, though, that Gates has, he has pleaded guilty, so he's got, an agreement with the prosecutors, and that Manafort is not, is going ahead with the trial. Gates potentially could have information that could be used against Manafort.
That is the expectation. It's very interesting how the two men who were very close once worked together in Ukraine for almost a decade, and then joined the Trump campaign and were jointly indicted back in October, have taken divergent paths. Rick Gates decided to plead guilty to two charges that could potentially spare him jail time in exchange for cooperation with the Russia investigation, and potentially in exchange for testifying against his partner, Paul Manafort. So the pressure is on Paul Manafort. We have about the new trial date that has been set for Manafort is September 17th. We have roughly 7 months, and that's still plenty of time for his lawyers and prosecutors to negotiate a plea deal. Although Manafort has maintained his innocence and has vowed to fight the charges and go to trial, but we don't know what will transpire over the next 7 months.
VOA Justice correspondent Masood Farivar. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Hello, Sarah. Well, it seems at times that, you know, we seem to be ping-ponging between two big stories that just seem to be going on and on. The first was the one that you were just addressing there, the Russia collusion or investigation, however you want to characterize it. And the second, of course, the recent shooting in Parkland, Florida, and what it means for guns. And I do look for other things to talk about, but I'll be honest with you, these are really the topics that are just occupying, pulling up a whole lot of the oxygen in the room on social media. Today, early this morning, the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods, a large retailer of all kinds of sporting goods, materials, that sort of thing, they announced that they would no longer be selling certain types of guns at all. These are basically sort of long rifles, long guns. This has created a great deal of response in social media, certainly on both Facebook and Twitter. The hashtag Dick's Sporting Goods is trending very strongly right now. Here's just a few comments. Here's somebody who calls himself TD. What a disgrace and disappointment. Management reports to shareholders, of which I am no longer. Wonder how many customers are NRA members. Dewey just simply said, last time I ever stepped foot inside a Dick's Sporting Goods. Mike Santola, with an 8-year-old who's heavily into sports, football, wrestling, and soon baseball or lacrosse, along with learning responsibility to handle firearms, we will be boycotting Dick's. But of course, there's lots of response too. Lots of people. Here's, let's see, Mark Kremer. I wonder if let's pass on that one. Sometimes the language certainly is. Kristen Keogh, looks like I found a new place to buy my gear. Here's one, Dump Trump. While we're boycotting FedEx and Amazon, how about giving Dick's Sporting Good a big day and show the companies some love about what doing the right thing looks like. So that's really the story and the trend today that's taking off.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. The International Olympic Committee reinstates Russia's membership. There's been a deadly suicide attack in the Pakistani city of Quetta. South Africa explores making a constitutional change that would allow land seizures. And the UN reports North Korea shipped possible chemical weapons making supplies to Syria. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A group of scientists have found that junk food might be affecting our immune system's ability to fight disease. Detailing their findings in a new study that will be published by the journal Cell, the researchers, led by the University of Bonn, found that our body's defense system reacts the same way to high-calorie foods packed with fats as it does to bacterial infections. In other words, whenever we eat a diet of these unhealthy foods, our immune systems think it's fighting off a disease. The study found that the behavior of the immune system remains quite active even after an individual switches to a more healthy diet. The researchers say the long-term changes to the immune system may be involved in increasing the risk for arteriosclerosis, the hardening and thickening of arteries, as well as diabetes and other diseases that have been linked to Western diets. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, India pays tribute to a late Bollywood icon. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov Wednesday told the UN Human Rights Council, following his government's decision to create humanitarian corridors in eastern Ghouta, it's up to the rebels to halt their shelling of Damascus and preventing aid deliveries and the departure of civilians. Russia's announcement failed Tuesday to stem attacks that have left more than 500 people dead since February 19th. U.S. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert accused Russia of failing to support Saturday's U.N. Security Council resolution demanding a 30-day ceasefire. She said Moscow voted for it but continues to support the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. The commander of U.S. Central Command, Army General Joseph Votel, had the same message.
Russia's support of the Assad regime has not only propped him up, but has also added complexity to the Defeat ISIS campaign. Diplomatically and militarily, Moscow plays both arsonist and firefighter, fueling tensions among all parties in Syria, the Syrian regime, Iran, Turkey, the Syrian Democratic Forces, the United States, and other coalition partners, then serving as an arbiter to resolve disputes, attempting to undermine and weaken each party's bargaining positions. Despite the key role that our partners on the ground, the Syrian Democratic Forces, and the coalition have played in dealing defeat to ISIS, Russia has placed this progress at risk with their activities, which are not focused on defeating ISIS, but rather on preserving their own influence and control over the outcome of the situation. It is clear that Russia's interests in Syria are Russia's interests and not those of the wider international community.
The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported Wednesday that government forces have gained ground in eastern Ghouta, even as the three main rebel factions in the region said they have 20,000 fighters, suggesting efforts to recapture it will be long and difficult. David Mack, a former ambassador and scholar at the Washington-based Middle East Institute, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty he's not surprised the Russian truce is not holding.
There are some very bad actors involved on the ground, notably the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad, but also a number of the rebel groups and others who have taken refuge within populated areas like the eastern Ghouta suburbs. And the efforts of Russia to emerge from this problem with some kind of clean bill of health in the international community by showing that it shares humanitarian concerns with the rest of the international community and with prominent Sunni Arab governments like that of Saudi Arabia was almost destined to fail.
Moscow says it's going to press ahead with the humanitarian pause.
Well, of course, it started out it was going to be a 30-day ceasefire, but with both sides sort of keeping their fingers crossed and saying that didn't mean that they couldn't attack terrorists. And then the Russians thought they would be on safe grounds by setting up these five-hour humanitarian corridors in which relief supplies could get in to the civilian population. Innocent civilians, particularly those wounded, elderly children, could leave the area. And basically, what the Russians found is that their Syrian ally was not prepared to play ball and is basically taking advantage of a situation that the Russian government had set up in order to continue their efforts to subdue one of the last remaining strongholds of opposition to the government.
Is Syria proving to be a diplomatic risk for Russia?
Oh, yes. I think it was from the beginning. The Russians were looking for low-cost ventures that could restore Russia's reputation and stature as a great power and could restore the traditional, and I'm talking about centuries-old, Russian position in Syria. And that might have enhanced Russia's reputation in the region with governments that had previously been very critical of it. But in fact, I think their venture has failed. And I don't think this has proved to be a low-cost effort on their part. And so far, I would have to assess that the temporary gains that they have made might be outweighed by the long-term costs.
That's David Mack of the Middle East Institute. Mourning fans turned out in Mumbai Wednesday to bid an emotional farewell to famed Bollywood actress Devi Kapoor 4 days after she drowned in a hotel bathtub in Dubai. Grieving fans, some clutching flowers, waited patiently in long lines to pay tribute to her at a private club where her body was kept so they could catch a final glimpse of her. Huge crowds also stood on the roadside or followed a flower-bedecked truck bearing a giant poster of the star as it began its 6-kilometer journey to a crematorium amid a tight security cordon. Anjana Pasricha in New Delhi describes what is known about the circumstances surrounding Kapoor's death.
Well, you know, initially when she passed away on Saturday evening, the news that we got in India in the morning was that she died. She had a cardiac arrest. However, a day later, it turned out, the Dubai police said that she died because of accidental drowning in a bathtub in the hotel room where she was staying. She was in Dubai to attend a family wedding. So that led to a lot of speculation in the Indian media about whether there was more than met the eye, you know, in the circumstances surrounding the death. Apparently, the prosecutor's office in Dubai wanted to know what medical treatment she had taken before, what surgery she underwent, etc., etc. However, Dubai authorities, who apparently investigate every death outside the hospital, have now made it very clear that it was an accident. Forensics reports have apparently confirmed that there was no criminal intent in the case of her death, and they've also quashed media reports that her husband was questioned by the police as part of investigation procedures. But let me tell you, some speculation is continuing in India, and I think these questions will continue to be posed for some time.
Looking at Ms. Kapoor's career, what sort of role did she play in the Bollywood community?
As you know, she gave a string of hits in the 1980s and 1990s, and she was really an icon of what is known as popular cinema. There were movies, romantic comedies, there were thrillers, there were all kinds of films in which she was very versatile, in which she played a role. I mean, she sort of was the first woman, most famously known as Bollywood's first female superstar. In India, most Bollywood movies are centered around the hero. He kind of gets most of the attention. But Sridevi was an actress who was the first one who made movies just, you know, she carried them on her shoulders. She was the one who was, the movies were woven around her, and she was the one who got all the attention. She really sort of was a huge, huge rage in her times in the 1990s. Her films are watched even now by a lot of people. And in recent years, she again gave two hits. She came back. She made a movie called English Winglish in 2012 and a thriller in 2017, which was also a runaway success.
So I guess you could say she was sort of maybe a little bit sort of semi-retired, but she still works some.
Yeah, she had retired when she got married in, I think it was 1997, and she concentrated on her home and the two daughters that were born to her. But she came back in 2012, as I said, and starred in two more movies, which were, again, huge hits.
Anjana Pasricha reporting from New Delhi. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia, debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is International Edition. The 90th Academy Awards will recognize the best films of 2017 in 24 categories. Movements such as Oscars So White, Black Lives Matter, and Me Too have helped bring changes in the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences, allowing more voting members for minorities and women. As a result, audiences and critics may see the Oscars distributed more evenly to cover a wider racial and gender breadth this year. VOA's Penelope Pulu spoke with Giovanna Chesler, director of the Film and Video Studies Program at George Mason University, about the Oscar nominees making a difference.
This is Moonlight, the best picture.
Yeah. Okay.
A surprise breakthrough at the Oscars last year when the indie African-American drama Moonlight appended the favorite all-white musical La La Land. This trend in racial and gender inclusiveness is expected to continue this year, says Giovanna Chesler at George Mason University.
Well, one of the things the Academy has done over the years is it's increased its membership amongst a more diversity of actors, performers, and screenwriters, and welcoming them into the voting population of the Academy's 7,000 members.
As a result, among this year's nominees are African-American films such as Dee Reese's Mudbound, about a decorated African-American pilot returning from World War II into the segregated South.
Mudbound, Dee Reese's film, is being recognized in the categories of screenwriting and acting and cinematography. The first woman cinematographer ever to be nominated in 90 years is Rachel Morrison from Mudbound.
Another one is Jordan Peele's Get Out, a horror film with a comic edge about modern white supremacy.
With Get Out, there's incredible momentum. Same with Black Panther, amongst its primary audience that said, this movie matters, because We want to continue to see ourselves represented on screen. We want to support African-American storytellers.
The hashtag MeToo movement also is reflected.
Something cracked open with the MeToo movement and the Time's Up movement that followed. Perhaps the films that are nominated somewhat reflect that awareness. About half of them that feature women protagonists, women in lead roles who really are influencing the direction of the film.
One of them is actress, screenwriter, and director Greta Gerwig behind the coming-of-age film Lady Bird. The film, about a mother-daughter antagonistic, albeit loving, relationship, has received 5 Oscar nominations. While the dark satire, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, showcases Mildred, an angry mother, played by Frances McDormand, who will stop at nothing to challenge the local police for not doing enough to catch her daughter's killer.
Nature has cunning ways of finding our weakest spot.
This year, we also see Oscar nominees dealing with same-sex and gender issues, such as the character drama Call Me By Your Name, about the passionate love between two young men in the early 80s, and the Chilean drama A Fantastic Woman, about a transgender woman whose life is upended after her partner dies.
We see a lot of risk-taking happening in the nominees in the international categories. And Fantastic Woman is one of those films. The performance is exceptional, and she will be the first trans person to present an award at the Academy Awards. We have another trans director nominated at the Academy Awards this year, Yancey Ford, who's nominated for Strong Island.
Pull it through your heart and know you will never see your sisters again, your mother, your father.
Chesler adds, it will take time before we see an equitable and open Hollywood. But with every passing year, there's hope that more women and minorities in front and behind the camera will be telling their stories for the large screen and receive equal representation at the Oscars. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
Looking forward to seeing the Oscars. Well, that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Department of State has designated Ansarul Islam as a specially designated global terrorist. This designation imposes strict sanctions on foreign individuals determined to have committed or pose a significant risk of committing acts of terrorism that threaten the security of Americans or the national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States. This designation seeks to deny Ansarul Islam the resources it needs to plan and carry out further terrorist attacks. Among other consequences, all of its property and interests in property subject to U.S. jurisdiction are blocked, and Americans are generally prohibited from engaging in any transactions with the group. Ansarul Islam is a terrorist group based in the West African nation of Burkina Faso. The group has launched numerous attacks in northern Burkina Faso near the border with Mali, including a December 2016 attack against an army squad that killed a dozen soldiers, one of the deadliest ever attacks against Burkina Faso's military. Ansarul Islam also carried out a February 2017 strike on 2 police stations in the country and is believed to be responsible for the March 2017 murder of a school director and another man in Cour Fayal, Burkina Faso. This terrorist designation notifies the U.S. public and the international community that Ansarul Islam has committed or poses a significant risk of committing acts of terrorism. Terrorism designations expose and isolate organizations and individuals and deny them access to the U.S. financial system. Moreover, designations can assist the law enforcement activities of U.S. agencies and other governments. The United States remains committed to rooting out all terrorist groups, including Ansarul Islam, wherever they may lurk.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.